Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah, hi. How are you? I gotta say, the supermoon, supermoon kind of pretty good moon.
Not so super?
I don't think so. I think we got cheated on the supermoon. I wanted that giant apocalyptic moon. You know, it fills up like half the sky and you think the world's coming to an end. That would have been awesome.
It was pretty good.
I don't know.
Pretty good's cool. Not super.
Yesterday was kind of hazy, I thought.
Yeah, I had kind of an aura around the moon.
Yeah. Today was a little cool. I actually stopped the car and looked at it just to make sure.
Right on the highway? Try to appear on your own traffic report?
Yeah, would have been fun.
Once the haze disappeared, it appeared to be a pretty cool moon. I don't think it ever got to super.
Well, you just have to keep trying then.
No,
right?
It's over now. Got 18 years now that we have to wait.
Oh, man.
Was your moon bigger up north?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Well, you're closer to the moon when you get north.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah,
it's really scientific fact.
It's really scary when you think about it and you go, am I going to be around then?
In 18 years?
Yeah, now we are starting to think about that. Actually, I am. I'm going,
I'd be 73. Yeah, yeah, I plan on being here.
I plan on it, yeah. Hopefully.
73? Wow. Of course, 55 I'm not admitting to. Do you know people that, and I know women do this more than men, but I know some men who won't admit their age, which I always find funny, because it's so much easier for us.
But why not admit it?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, you can't.
Like in your case, Dave, you look great. You look great, so I'd be telling everybody. I'd be going out and be telling everybody. I go, do you know how old I am? Look at me. I look fantastic.
Oh, man.
In my case, I take my mother to lunch and people go, is this your wife? You know, so that's not good.
No.
That's not what you want. Hi, everybody. It's Steve. It's 613. And welcome to show number 777. That's
really?
A lot of luck.
Wow.
Today's 777.
Is it really?
Yeah, so this is a very lucky show. We're at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. It was 1 week ago today that voters in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota and Michigan decided, she's got this. I don't need to vote. And a whole bunch of Democrats stayed home. And 1 week later, Donald Trump is the president. Still, if you woke up this morning wondering if you dreamt the whole thing, he is the president. I say what I said to you a week ago tomorrow, which is support is necessary unless he needs to be called out on something. I thought President Obama's press conference yesterday was done very well, expressing normal human concerns and normal concerns of an outgoing president, but also revealing a couple things we didn't know, like Trump said that he's not going to mess with NATO, which gives Obama an opportunity to go overseas on this final overseas trip for him and tell the NATO countries, that was campaign stuff. Not going to happen. The continuing concern and the thing that's sucking up the news cycle now are his appointments or his potential appointments. Rudy Giuliani, who was by all accounts a hero in the days after 9/11, days, weeks, months, and years after 9/11, until he ran in, was it 2004 he ran or 2008? I forget now. But when he ran for president and decided that Florida would be where his campaign would start and completely blew off Iowa and New Hampshire and was literally out of the race by then. So he's been floating around that sphere. He's taking some grief today because he did a speech in New York last night where, I think it was in New York, but anyway, he announced to the person that was doing the interview for the speech or the seminar or whatever it was, that he would not be attorney general, but that he might be secretary of state. And you're thinking, well, why would we make him an international spokesperson for foreign policy for the United States of America? Well, the truth is, Giuliani, in his security role, has been traveling internationally for most of the last 15 years and loves it, is fascinated by it, and probably has the qualifications and the chops, at least in book form, to do the job. The concern is he out of his mind? Because some of the things he said on the campaign trail and some of the sources that he cited as news weren't quite as credible as the National Enquirer. So that's a concern. You do have a lot of old white guys and a lot of old white guys who are out of touch with really the mainstream of America. There's so many ironies in this thing. But Rudy Giuliani, as you wake up this morning, is probably your front runner for Secretary of State. The other one is a guy named John Bolton, who served last under, I believe, the Franklin Pierce administration, possibly James K. Polk. He's an older fella. And I've interviewed Bolton before. He is a neocon. He is a guy that believes that we need to strike out and strike hard when we do, which seems to be at odds with Trump's take care of America first and let the world fight it out as need be. On the attorney general side, there's differing accounts. Chris Christie was either thrown out of the cabinet discussions because Trump was disgusted with him and he's going to go to jail over Bridgegate, or he's going to be the attorney general. And they've done a decent job of keeping the locks on that one. But the majority of the concern continues to be over Steve Bannon, this guy that ran Breitbart. Breitbart is called Breitbart News. It's news in the loosest form because it's just literal fire starter stories for the far right and for those who want to suck up any headline and believe any headline. And he has been a bad guy. The question is he like Trump, where Trump said a lot of things during the campaign that he doesn't appear that he's going to follow through with now, whether it's the weight of the office or the fact that he really wants to do the decent job that we all have to hope he can do? But Breitbart, we don't know the truth about Steve Bannon. We don't know if Steve Bannon is a guy who made stuff up just for the sake of getting eyeballs to his website and selling advertising and firing up the small but very loyal audience that Breitbart has, or if he truly believes this stuff, which is sexist and racist and homophobic. And you don't have to buy my take on that. Look it up. So that's what we have this morning. We have concerns about the cabinet, but these transitions are generally messy. We have continued protests. By the way, somebody actually did take the time and poll protesters as to their vote turnout. And small sampling, I think it was about 100 people. But of the 100 people they asked at one of the protests, only about 50% of them voted. Those are the ones that admitted they didn't vote. So that's nice. That's your catch-up of the news. I thought last night's Mayor Rahm Emanuel 47 radio station sit-down with Bill Curtis went pretty well, and there's some interesting good news in the middle of that that we'll get to. We'll also get to Nick Giulio. We'll get to Kid of the Week. And we'll get to Adam Hogan, a new thing that may only be a one-timer called the Hamp Game.
The Hamp Game.
The Hamp Game. We're going to take pieces of Hamp losing his mind and see if Adam Hogue can identify what Hamp's talking about.
You mean the pieces that fell when he exploded? When his head exploded?
No. I mean pieces of Hamp on the show.
Oh.
Losing his mind.
Oh.
You know, we clean that up as best we can. We're on the seventh floor again today because they're finishing off whatever they were doing in the studio. Let me go live to Jake on this. Jake's Vice President of Architecture and Construction on the Steve Cochran Show. Also up for a Trump cabinet position because of that, because Trump loves construction. What's going on downstairs?
When you enter into an endeavor, and it, wow. The guy on the tightrope going across the damn Chicago River.
What?
Warming up for the game, huh?
Still at it.
A Hamp impression.
That's pretty good, wasn't it?
Was pretty good. What's going on downstairs, and when do we return to our normal studio?
We're, according to my sources, through the Trump cabinet, it's that we are going to be down there tomorrow.
Oh, we are.
And it's still very fumey. I went there this morning before I got my coffee from Starbucks.
I don't understand the fumes. Is it safe to go back there?
Probably not.
Do we have any sort of testing going on? Can we send Pete McMurray in there and see if he survives?
Absolutely not. That's a negative. We just got to see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be it looks nice though. We got a nice little skyline back there now. It's a yellow skyline, from what I'm told, so.
But aren't the decorations going up today?
Today's the Christmas decorations.
TreeTime.com was coming in, yeah.
Well, the TreeTime people safe? We're putting some sort of oxygen mask on them?
I don't know. Might need to wear their gear.
Before we go to traffic, Pete McMurray's here this morning, and Pete will pop on and off as I see fit.
Yes, sir.
Pete, you're out of work. You'd pretty much do anything at this point, wouldn't you?
What do you need?
Would you go into our poisonous new studio to see if it's fit for habitation?
I walked past it this
Not
morning.
Not past it. In it.
I can go in it, sure.
Yeah, walk in it, see how long you last, and based on how long you last before you collapse, it'll determine what day we go back in.
Okay.
All right, that's great.
No problem.
Nice to see you. Pete's going to be filling in for me tomorrow.
Maybe.
Well, if he survives. That's a good point. And next week. I'll be off next week. Are you here next week?
I am. In fact, I'm gone tomorrow and Thursday, and I'm off. I'm not off. I will be doing games, but I will be gone next week.
Okay, you're off.
I'm not off, Steve. I will be in. Okay, you want to hear where I'm going to be?
No, I know your schedule's
a
little
nutty. You
don't
really care, do you?
It's a little nutty.
Yeah.
Northwestern won last night?
Won last night. Nice win for them.
Good, good, good. 2-0?
2-0. Play at Butler tomorrow night. Be a tough game.
What to see, what's out at the show. I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on GM's Cochrane Show. And what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
All right. How are you, sir?
I think I'm fine. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think I'm fine. Woke up in a decent mood. What do you think of this supermoon? I thought the supermoon was
It was pretty crazy when I got off work yesterday morning. I think it was at its brightest. It was supposed to be at its brightest right around 6 a.m. or something.
There was definitely
like
more light. More light than normal. It was almost dusk. It was so bright. But,
yeah,
but was, I wanted it, the it looked, big moon, man. I wanted the big, giant moon, like, right in my face.
I wanted the big, giant moon, but I was disappointed Jackie Gleason's face wasn't on it.
Hold on a second, kids. That's a reference for anybody over the age of 49 and a half. all right, what's coming up? What's happening? What do we need to know?
Let me just tell you about, really quickly, I got my Godfather screening, which, by the way, is close to selling out. So if people want to go, you got to get your reservations. It's this Saturday. The movie starts at 7. There's an Italian buffet dinner starting at 5:30.
Well, you need a head count from us then, because I know Sandberg wants to bring a bunch of people.
It's close to selling out, but, you guys know you guys got an in. So.
Well, we set up folding chairs in the back or something.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
But if people want to reserve their seats, it's carmike.com, C-A-R-M-I-K-E. C-A-R-M-I-K-E. It's a special Saturday night version of the Nick DiGiulio Film Club, which usually takes place on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And it's this Saturday night, The Godfather, a masterpiece on the big screen, and Italian buffet dinner beforehand, and the movie starts at 7. So.
Couldn't be more convenient. Saturday night, no excuse not to go.
That's right. And can I just want to mention really quickly two movies that came out this past weekend that I think are two of the very best movies of the year, and I wanted to mention them really quickly.
Sure.
A film called Loving, with Joel Edgerton and Ruth Bega, and it's a true story about this couple, an interracial couple in 1958 Virginia, who are told that they have to leave the state of Virginia because it's illegal to be interracially married, and they have to leave for at least 25 years. And
that
they
was the law? They had to leave for 25 years?
Yeah, they had to leave for 25 years. It was illegal.
How bizarre.
And I mean, the movie is about how, people are stopping you from being married to the person that you love. And it avoids all of the cliches that you would expect. It's a true story. You know, it's based on a racial incident. It's got courtroom in it, but it actually completely avoids any and all made for TV movie or Oscar bait movie cliches. It is wonderful with anchored by two of the best performances of the year. It's moving. It's really quiet. It is just it's a low key wonderful beautiful movie called Loving, and it was also the movie's called Loving because it's ironically it's the last name of the people who were married, the Loving couple.
And who are the actors?
Joel Edgerton, who you remember from Warrior, he's been in a bunch of stuff. If you saw him, you'd know him. And Ruth Bega, who not a lot of people know, she's been in a few things. She was really terrific on the TV show Preacher. And I guarantee you she's going to be nominated for Best Actress for this. I guarantee you.
Loving. And what about Arrival?
Arrival, one of the best movies of the year. I was so surprised and blown away by how much I was moved by this film. Science fiction movie about aliens who come down to Earth, and Amy Adams plays a linguist who is brought in by the government and the military to go on board the ship, communicate with the aliens, and try to learn their language and find out what they're trying to say and what their why was their reason for being here is.
Is there a Rosetta Stone for that, or what do we know?
No, that's what the whole movie is about. It's about, like, discovering what this language is and figuring it out. And it's a film about communication. It's a film about language and the universality of it, and you know, how we communicate and how important that is. It's also a personal story about Amy Adams' character dealing with grief. And it's great science fiction. It's creepy. It's scary. It's very, very interesting and languid and slow moving. If you're going to this thinking you're going to see like an Independence Day alien invasion movie with a lot of stuff blowing up, you're going to be disappointed. This is an adult, smart, literate film.
Well, like
and again, one of the best of the year. One of the a great weekend last weekend. This Loving and Arrival are both probably going to be in my top 10 at the end of the year.
And this isn't show business necessarily, but it is a larger extended version of pop culture, and that's the news. Gwen Ifill died yesterday.
I know.
And Gwen Ifill at 61 years old had kept it very quiet that she was dealing with endometrial cancer. As a matter of fact, she even traveled with the campaign this year. But she and Judy Woodruff were doing the PBS NewsHour for the past 3.5-4 years and were great at it. And she was a groundbreaker in a number of ways. Did a couple of vice presidential debates, did a Democratic presidential debate, but mostly just day in and day out was a great journalist, a great reporter. And I never met her, but by all accounts from everyone that's spoken of her and the memorials are all over the place, a terrific person. So that's a huge loss.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So many people are dropping.
It goes to your 2016 Russell, theory. Can this be over faster? Can we just skip the rest of the year?
It's unbelievable. Leon Russell last week, Leonard Cohen. I mean, jeez.
Yeah, it's tough. It is very, very tough.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Well, enjoy your day, will you? Kick back a little bit?
I will. I'm about to watch a Johnny Carson rerun, my friend, after I listen to your show.
Nice catch. Back with the big story next at 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Kid of the Week. Soon to lead to Kid of the Year. Mary and Dave, you ready to pick a Kid of the Year?
Well, we have a few more weeks, don't we?
Yes. You haven't even met today's Kid of the Week. But at the end of the year, you will pick a Kid of the Year, and that kid will get a $5,000 prize courtesy of Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. See the inventory at rayandraymonddeals.com. You can go online at wgnradio.com/contest to submit your entry. And Kid of the Week is sponsored by Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. It's a great family. You know Ray.
Sure.
Friends, really, really good friends with Ron Santo through the
Scarpelli's,
years.
Scarpelli's, absolutely.
It wasn't one or the other, maybe they were best man in both of their weddings. Somebody was a best man in the other's wedding. I remember that. Apparently, I don't remember it well, but I know they were.
It wasn't yours, was it?
No. Okay. No, no. You know me, I just marry other people. Mm-hmm. All right, Kid of the Week time. And it's a detailed description of this Kid of the Week, but let me just start by this. Aunt Mary nominated Ryan, and Ryan's on the phone now. And I'd like to just jump to Ryan for starters. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Good.
How old are you?
I'm 10 years old.
And do you have a job?
I go to school.
So at this point, you're still living off your parents?
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 years old, are you a fifth grader?
Fourth grader.
Fourth grader. What's your favorite part about school?
Math, probably.
Yeah? Are you good with numbers?
Yeah.
And what do you like about numbers and math?
I can learn it very easily. It comes easy for me.
Well, that's nice, right? What do you want to be when you grow up?
A professional baseball player.
Cubs or White Sox?
I don't know yet.
I'm going to need an answer.
Probably Sox then.
Oh, okay. Who's your best friend, Ryan?
Adam.
Does he have a job or does he live off his parents too?
Lives off his parents.
Well, you guys are just sponges, aren't you?
Yeah.
Do you get an allowance?
No.
Do you do chores around the house? Do you help your family?
Sometimes I take out the garbage and walk the dog.
What kind of dog do you have?
A mix between a dachshund and a beagle.
Oh, mutt. I love mutts. Mutts are cool. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, in all your years, don't you think, Ryan, mutts are cool?
Yeah. He's really cool.
What's the dog's name?
Yukon.
Why do you call the dog Yukon?
Because when we went to Alaska, we went to the Yukon Territory.
You went to Alaska to get your dog?
No, we went to the Yukon Territory in Alaska.
Why was your dog in Alaska?
He wasn't. We got him right after.
I see. I'm not that smart, man. I'm just trying to catch up. You went to Alaska on a trip?
Yeah.
That must have been fun. What was the coolest thing about that?
There's two. We went on a cruise, and we went on a plane ride right by Mount Everest.
Holy mackerel. What a life you're leading. What a life. You're good at math. You're going to Alaska. You have a dog. I mean, you're living it up, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, Ryan, so here's the deal. Ryan and I are much more similar than you would think, Mary and Dave. Ryan and I both share a soft spot for people that are down on their luck. So here's the story. Last year, the family went downtown the city of Chicago at Christmas time to just see how beautiful this city is, and everybody should do it at Christmas time. We saw a lot of people who were homeless and hungry. The kids read the signs and stuff, and Ryan wanted to give money to every person we saw. So we explained to him that we can't give money to everybody. We don't have enough to do that, but we can give a little. We can help some. And gave Ryan some money. Well, you pick up the story, Ryan. Then what happened?
So we gave some of the money, but my mom, for everyone we walked by, she told me to still talk to them because they'd appreciate it.
And did you talk and say hi and introduce yourself?
Yeah.
It's a good experience, and it's something the rest of us could learn, Ryan, because when you stop and you say hi to somebody who's down on their luck like that, you ask them their name and you tell them your name, you know, you make it a human being exchange sort of thing, and it's the way a conversation should take place instead of just walking by somebody. I don't know how you get that at 10, but I'm very impressed with you.
Thank you.
Well, you're a good man. I'm sorry you keep, you know, living off your parents, but, I mean, at some point you'll get a job. And what are you going to do for the holidays this year? Because I know you have other plans.
So this year, we went with the train last time, and when we were riding the train back last year, I was thinking about things I can do to help the homeless, mm-hmm. and then decided to put together backpacks that had things that they could use to help survive.
What's in the backpacks?
So far, I have hand warmers, hand sanitizer, chapstick, socks, hat, blankets, and...
That's a pretty good list.
Oh,
and gloves.
A couple snacks.
And snacks and gloves.
Yep.
It's a good idea, dude. And who's helping you with that?
My mom, my grandma, and my sister.
Well, I'm proud of you. You're okay. Your sister older or younger?
Older.
Yeah? How old? Much older?
She's in sixth grade.
She married?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not yet.
Yeah, give her a year or two. You're a very impressive young man, and it's an honor to know you. And I was touched by your story about how much seeing homeless folks affected you. So I hope you'll tell your friends, including your best friend. What's your best friend's name, Adam?
Yeah.
Well, get that slug down there and helping you, too. What's Adam doing sitting around waiting for somebody to get him breakfast? Get him out there helping you as well.
Okay.
Yeah, have him help you with the backpacks. Why not? Because you can teach other kids to do what you do, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You like pizza?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you Lou Malnati's pizza. How many do you want?
You want 100? Two.
You want 100? You want 1 million pizzas?
Yeah.
I can't give you 1 million pizzas, you knucklehead. I'll give you 2. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's deep dish pizza. Find one of the 40 Chicagoland locations. Order online at loumalnati's.com. Do you have headphones or stuff that you use when you listen to stuff on your phone or your iPad or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, you want some you want to get some new ones?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll give you a gift card to Apt. Have you ever heard of Apt?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really cool store. I want you to go in there. You ask for my friend Steve Shapiro. And if you mention my name, you tell Steve I said you could have a free refrigerator. Okay?
Okay.
And I give you tickets to the Volo Auto Museum, where you can see cars that you're not old enough to drive. You can go to volocars.com. And you said you're a White Sox fan, right?
Yeah.
I'll give you a certificate. You get a sports-themed Christmas tree of your choice with micro lights and the color of your favorite team from Treat Time Christmas Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. All that's for you, buddy, for being a good kid.
Thank you.
It's nice to know you. I hope we can stay in touch. And when you are the President of the United States, I'll definitely help you get there by voting for you.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy. I'll see you later.
He's so cute.
How great is that kid?
How do these kids come up with these ideas?
Doesn't that touch your heart? That's Ryan Gustis, by the way. I don't think I said his last name.
All I could think about was my science fair project at 10.
Well, about the fact that he doesn't have his face buried in a phone, that he's actually looking up and looking around.
And talking to people.
That's awesome. Good kid, man.
I'm just glad he didn't sound cute.
That's a good kid, right? That's a good kid.
I think you could have given
him... I mean, we don't put a lot of deadbeats on Kid of the Week, but that kid's a good kid.
He is a good kid. I think you could have given him a million pizzas.
Well, we got really Malnati's pizza. They would have the people would have done it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but Ryan would have given him to the homeless, right? That's probably what
he would have
done.
That's a good point, right? Mm-hmm. Could have taken care of the whole problem.
That's right.
See me calling Mindy Kaplan. Hey, Mindy, listen, I need a little extra pizza or two here or there. Oh, sure. How many do you need? A million pizzas.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, Adam Hall.
Hi. Can you give us any insight into the plan for Thursday?
Not really.
What can you tell us about Bear Jones? And is he ready if he needs to be?
Ready for what?
Nothing like the love shared between the best Bears beat reporter ever, Adam Hogue, and his head coach, John Fox. You guys love each other, don't you?
We love each other a lot.
Yeah.
It gets stronger every day, actually.
I have some great prizes to give away. You're going to help us with the first ever Hamp game. By the way, it could be the last time we play. But we'll get to that in a second. First, tell us about Alshon Jeffrey. We know the basic facts here. But do we know what performance-enhancing drug he allegedly took?
Well, Alshon said in his statement that he took something to help inflammation, and in there was a banned substance.
Advil?
Yeah. I don't, he's not going to tell us specifically what it is. The Bears aren't going to either. Look, here's the thing, though. The team educates you. I don't really put much blame here on the team. At some point, the athlete has to have the responsibility to know what they're putting in their own body, and he screwed up.
I don't disagree with that, but I think it's the reaction by the team is exactly what's wrong with the team. There's no passion in the reaction either, because at this point, on a 2-7 team, I would like to hear the coach and the general manager, especially the general manager, come out and go, you know, frankly, this is the last thing we need. This is the last thing we need on a 2-7 team. We're very disappointed in Alshon. Accident or not, you have to be more careful. You have to be what you just said, careful about what you put in your body. We'll welcome him back in 4 weeks, but this puts us in a hole. That's what fans want to hear.
Yeah, and I would agree that maybe John Fox is, he expressed disappointment, obviously, but he didn't really come out that hard.
You want to hear it? Listen, you got it, Dave?
I can have it in 1 second.
Let's hear how passionate John Fox is about the Alshon Jeffrey news in yesterday's press conference. Listen.
You have to punch
a button. Sorry, here we go.
Starting today, serving a 4-game suspension for PEDs. Obviously, we're very disappointed. I think he's fairly embarrassed about it, but we'll support him and welcome him when he gets back.
Ooh, that's tough, man. That's the hammer.
Sort of treating it like a high ankle sprain.
Well, let me play NFL business guy here for a second, because this could and certainly will hurt Alshon Jeffrey's value. At the end of the year, he's going to be a free agent again. The Bears could franchise tag him again. At this point, I don't think that's going to happen, because you're going to have to pay him $17 million if you tag him again. For a guy that's scored one touchdown so far this season and is going to be under 1,000 yards for the second season in a row, that's way too much money. But that doesn't mean the Bears haven't given up the idea of bringing him back. So I do think the head coach needs to be a little bit careful there in what he says. because there are going to be business negotiations that happens at the end of the season.
Hey, Adam, isn't it another violation is a 10-game suspension?
Yes.
Okay, so how do you earn the trust back?
Yeah, no, that's a great point because exactly. You start going down a road there where if he screws up again, you're going to lose him even longer. That's the thing here, guys. This has been a disastrous season for Alshon Jeffrey. You can blame the quarterbacks, you can blame Brian Hoyer playing or whatever, but the guy has one touchdown in a huge contract year. He was on pace to go over 1,000 yards. He's not going to hit that now. But this is to add on this suspension and this PED problem now. It's not just with the Bears. Wherever he ends up, if he ends up somewhere else, this has hurt his value incredibly.
In other news, Kyle Long's ankle?
Yeah, Kyle Long's ankle, they may have figured it out by now, but at the point John Fox talked yesterday, they hadn't determined if there was a fracture or not. Here's the deal. I would be surprised if he plays again for the Bears this season. I saw that ankle in the locker room after the game in Tampa. It was disgusting. It's something that's going to keep him out for a while anyway. And
that's
the guy's
strong.
Got,
I mean, that's kind of insulting. Do you think, Dave, he called Kyle Long's ankle disgusting?
Yeah. It's
maybe your ankles aren't so great. I mean,
it wasn't pretty.
Is it an image you can't get out of your mind?
Yeah, unsee it. One of those things.
I've been thinking about it a while, actually. Yeah, it was
really
different,
over the top, disgusting ankles. I mean,
it was different colors
about his ankle.
It was like purple and greenish and. Just not a sight you want to see. But more importantly, he has a torn labrum in his shoulder that needs to be fixed for next season. That's something that requires a lot of rehab. So if I'm the Bears and this guy's going to miss 4, 5, 6 games maybe here, there's only 7 left in the season. Shut him down. Get the shoulder fixed. That way he returns quicker in the offseason to get you ready for 2017.
And finally, what's wrong with Jay Cutler that's not between his ears?
Well, I think a lot of it is between his ears.
Is there an injury situation that was aggravated
well,
this weekend?
Okay, that's a good question, Steve, because as I watched the game, rewatched it yesterday.
Oh, my God, you had to watch it again?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's unfortunately part of the job.
Sorry for you.
Yeah. There were a couple times where he got up very, very slowly. There were two times in that game where I saw trainers looking at him on the sideline. So was he potentially playing through some kind of injury? Also point out that on the little tiny stage they had him stand on below the stands when he talked to the media and did his press conference, he kind of grimaced when he got off that stage, when he was done. And that was something I noticed, too. He wasn't right.
It was like a little riser, an inch or two or three riser, that kind of thing?
Exactly, he had like two small steps, and he like walked down it like he was a 90-year-old man.
Wow!
And actually grimaced in pain at one point. So,
he looked like me coming down steps. That's what you're saying?
I won't go that far.
Yeah.
But the point is, and he is a football player, and football players are always sore after NFL football games, no question. But it seemed a little bit more than usual. So, could he have been playing through something? That would not surprise me at all. We'll see tomorrow if he's limited at all in practice. That'll give us
last
some
football question. Then we're going to play the ham.
Well, I just wanted to confirm what Adam said, because Adam John's story in the Sun Times this morning, the lead paragraph: Bears guard Kyle Long's right ankle looked ugly. It was swollen and discolored with shades of red, blue, and purple. So Adam's description was accurate.
I just think those guys are really hard on ankles.
Evidently.
The two of us should do a podcast together.
The ankle podcast?
We're on the same page.
They do, actually.
Be the least listened to podcast ever, the ankle podcast. 7:19, we're going to come back. Don't go away, Adam. We're going to come back. We're going to play the Hamp game, so we need callers. If you think you can identify what Hamp's exploding over, we'll play you a Hamp clue. You'll have to tell us what Hamp is saying. Now, Hogue and Pete McMurray, famed NFL expert, along with Dave Ennett, actual NFL expert, will be here to try to help you listeners pick it out. If you don't know the answer yourself, we have prizes to give away next, eh?
Adam Hogue's coverage of the Bears, sponsored by C.J. Wilson Mazda.
Let's go back to Adam Hogue. Now let me turn Pete McMurray's microphone on. Pete, you're on Fox talking Bears football. Is that the plug?
Yes, sir. Every Sunday, Fox Kickoff Sunday with Dan Hampton and Lou Kanellis.
And Dave, you've been to a football game or two in your life?
Yeah, I've been to a few, yes.
Yeah, so you're all football experts. Adam, you're smarter than these other two, aren't you?
Yeah, I've unfortunately been at every Bears game for the last 6 years.
Wow. All right, we're going to start with Bonnie in Lake Villa, but we need more callers here who want to play the Hamp game. Let me go to Bonnie here. And Bonnie, you've heard Hamp lose his mind whenever the Bears play poorly, and there's been a lot of that, right?
Oh, my gosh. I lose my mind along with him. It's a miracle. Hamp is still alive.
And don't you wish, like I do, that the Bears cared as much as he does?
Yes. It's just like us fans.
That's it.
We did with the Cubs. I think I'm a good luck charm, though, but I'm losing a little bit of faith. I try to envision winning just like I did for the Cubs, though, so maybe we still can turn it around. The season isn't over yet. I have hope and faith.
Well, keep the faith and keep drinking whatever you're drinking.
I'm healthy.
All right, so Bonnie, here's the deal. Pete and Dave and Adam will all help you if you can't get the answer. We're going to play you a clue from yesterday's Hamp appearance. You tell us what Hamp is trying to talk about as he loses his mind and his head explodes. Roll it.
It only increases the beat of the drum to get rid of this fool.
It only increases the beat of the drum to get rid of this fool. What is he talking about? And feel free to ask the boys if you need help.
Okay. Now, off the very top of my head, there are so many people who could fit in that spot.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm going to say my first choice would be Fox, but I'll ask Adam for help because he's the expert. I love Dave. I love everybody there. But Adam, what do you think?
Based on my conversations with Hamp after every game on the Hamp OB Cos postgame show, I'm going to agree with you and say it's John Fox.
John Fox. Is that the correct answer? That's it. You're a big winner.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Bonnie, congratulations. You said you were a big Cubs fan. I have the Sports Illustrated 2016 commemorative issue of the World Series champion Chicago Cubs.
No way.
Collect all four covers, and I'm going to give you a $50 gift card and a certificate for a sports-themed tree of your choice from Tree Time Christmas Creations at treetime.com. All right, hold on. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it very much. Let me go to line three. It is Kim in Franklin Park. Kim, are you ready to play the Hamp game?
Yes.
All right, you know how this works. Listen to as Hamp's head explodes. And then we'll see if you can tell us what he's trying to talk about. Roll it.
We left the oven on 5 minutes too long, and the pastries were overburnt.
We left the oven on 5 minutes too long, and the pastries are overburnt. Yeah, play it again. Let me hear it one more time.
We left the oven on 5 minutes too long, and the pastries were overburnt.
Wow, Kim, this is a tough one. Remember, Dave Edit, Pete McMurray, and Adam Hoag are here if you need the help. What is Hamp talking about?
I definitely need a lifeline. Dave, do you have any hints?
Oh, Kim, well, Thanksgiving is next week, and Hamp, I don't know if you know this, does a little baking on the side.
Is that what he's talking about?
Have to say I don't know.
No. What about you, Adam? Do you have any idea?
I really don't, unless he's talking about the play calling is my only guess.
All right. Pete McMurray, any idea at all?
Maybe the defense?
Maybe. This is a real confidence builder for this woman.
Sorry, Kim.
Kim turns to you three for help. You're all allegedly experts.
Well, it could be so many things.
It's Hamp speak.
I'll give you a hint. Left the oven on two pastries are overburnt. Wasn't that the turnover conversation?
Turnover.
Or did he leave a player in too long that we shouldn't have?
Oh, that's logical. Mm. I sort of remember the turnover conversation. Well, but, Kim, turnovers. What's your final answer?
Or maybe Cutler stayed in the pocket too long or something.
Yeah. No, I'm going to go with turnovers. But do you have to make the decision, Kim? What do you like?
Okay, well, I'll trust you. I'll go with turnovers.
Yes! It's a winner! He's talking about the turnovers. Congratulations, Kim. You, too, are a big winner. I have tickets for you to see one of my favorite comedians, Brian Regan, at the Chicago Theater Friday, April 7th of next year. Before that, though, I don't want you to go the whole holiday season without fabulous prizes. So we'll give you a Lou Malnati's Pizza, loumalnati's.com, and we'll give you a pair of tickets to Brew Lights at the Lincoln Park Zoo Thursday, December 1st, where you can actually get liquored up and see the lights.
Thank you so much.
All for you, Kim. All right, we'll play more of the Hamp game later. Let's take a break, come back, and nice job, Adam. You were 1 for 2. Dave was useless, and Pete doesn't even know what we're talking about.
Thank you.
Jeez, Dave. And Adam, where do we write, or where do we read what you write, I should say?
WGNradio.com/Bears, and I'll have something up in a little bit here on the whole Alshon Jeffrey situation.
Sounds good. All right, big story next, 720 WGN.
We left the oven on 5 minutes too long, and the pastries were overburnt.
The Steve Cochran Show.
How long did it take you to grow that mustache?
A couple of days.
I wish I could grow one.
/7:41, still to come. Concerns about Trump, things maybe you don't need to be worried about. The truth about some of the protests that are going on. Mike Madigan can't be bothered to show up for a meeting to decide whether or not a budget's going to be permanently approved. There's a lot of real quality people in government. I don't know if you've noticed. But let's break now for something very important, and that is Movember. Movember is the month each year where people grow mustaches with the idea that you're going to help those in need. You can dedicate your mustache growth to charity. The Movember movement is led in no small part by a famed scientist out of St. Louis, a Dr. Aaron Perlett, who we'll get to in just a second. But Pete, I can't help but notice you are facial hair free.
Steve, I'm on television every Sunday, and my co-host, Irv the Gypsy, has a full beard and mustache, so I'm clean shaven.
So you see it as balance?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Can you also not grow a mustache or a beard?
Steve, I'm Lebanese. I can grow a mustache by the end of the show.
You shave every 90 minutes or so?
I did, during that last break.
Yeah, I thought that was where you'd gone to. Dave, you don't have a mustache or a beard.
I do not.
I've seen a picture of you with a beard, a full beard.
I used to have a full beard.
Yeah.
And now I, once in a while on vacation, I will just not shave, and it grows pretty quickly, but it's a little, how should I say it, lighter than it used to be.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
It's also really itchy. I don't remember it ever being. It's very itchy.
Well, you know, I've gone with the goatee, or as I like to call it, the distraction, because once I went high and tight with the hair and buzz cut the hair, you want to sort of, create something else to look at other than my big bald head. So you've got the goat now. And I don't mean that in a Cubs way. But then there's young Bennett. Bennett Wagnite's here, and Bennett is rocking a mustache that, and again, we'll get Dr. Aaron Perlett's take on this, Bennett, but I mentioned this yesterday. You look like Tom Cruise's assistant in Valkyrie. You look like you're going to go out and try to kill Hitler. That's the mustache I see on your face.
It's only 15 days old, mind you. So right. I don't have, the getup that you've had. I don't have the genes of Pete over here.
Well, see, I'll readily admit I can't grow a full beard. I grow a full beard, and it looks like the Vermont trees at fall. 18 different colors coming in. It's all very weird. Yeah. And I don't need to look any older than I already do. But in your case, I think it's going to come in and it's going to be just fine.
Well, thank you.
How have you not gotten caught up in the millennial beard thing?
I actually did for a short, for a hot second there. Before I was here, I grew a beard for about 9 months. Just went straight wild man, like Grizzly Adams.
Yeah.
And it was out of control. I got a lot of comments, not good ones. But I always say, if you have the ability to grow facial hair, a full beard, whatever that might look like, I say you try it just to see what it looks like.
Everybody should do it once.
Yeah, so you know.
Yeah.
So, if you need to cover up a nasty scar or keep an upper lip warm during the winter.
Sure, sure.
But do you take offense when people say it doesn't look good? I'm not talking about yours.
He sees it as a compliment.
No, I'm not talking about yours. I'm talking about in general, do guys really? I mean, if you, because I kind of did a faux pas with my son-in-law because he's growing this beard. And I kind of said something to him, and I'm like, oh, now I feel really bad that I said it. So, Johnny, if you're out there, I apologize.
But, yeah, well, mustaches get a really bad rap.
No, but once he's your son-in-law, you can say anything you want to.
I guess he's like my son, you know? And I was pulling on it, and I'm like, yikes, this thing is really yuck.
Well, as you know, young Ross Cochran's had a beard now for 2 or 3 years because my daughter-in-law, who I love very much, she loves it. I, personally, not a big fan.
Yeah,
because I think you know, at 25, it makes him look 30.
I agree. Yeah.
So yeah, and you regularly mocked Ross's beard. So why are you worried about mocking your own
son-in-law's beard? Ross didn't mind. he's cool.
We'll do traffic here from you, and then Dr. Aaron Perlett will tell us whether or not Bennett's mustache is something he should get off his face immediately, and how the rest of us are doing. The Rock named Sexiest Man Alive this morning. That's a streak that is now, when did I get into this business? 1980? 1981? I guess 80. So 36 straight years where I haven't been the sexiest man alive. Listen, we're all shocked. Let's go to Dr. Aaron Perlett, standing by for Movember. Dr. Perlett, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Steve, thank you for having me on, as always. I appreciate it, and congratulations to your audience for having this opportunity to engage with me.
And also, thank you for the fine scientific work you're doing at the American Mustache Institute.
You're welcome. I appreciate the kindness and the recognition that we are doing the Lord's work, and that is regardless of which Lord you care to pray for.
Sure. What sort of facial hair are you sporting currently?
Right now I have a relatively thick beard, much like your son's, I would suggest. But I tend to go back and forth between various forms of high-quality facial hair.
And before we get to the reviews of the staff's faces, one thing I do want to point out is Movember is an opportunity for you to raise money. How does the charitable part of this work?
So there's actually several charities. There's No Shave November. There's Movember. You can find a variety of.
Which one would you recommend? Because you're the guy.
Well, I don't. I think it would be unfair of me to kind of make a determination of which one is a better one. Most of them. What I really like about them is they're all essentially adopting a sexually dynamic mustached American lifestyle to do. Good, and it's typically for things focused on cancers affecting men.
Sure.
I think you could look at Movember very much like the men's version of the Susan G. Komen Foundation.
Ah, sure, okay.
There is a...
So it's a good thing.
It's a great thing. There's an organization called Zero, which is basically trying to minimize cancers, down, men's cancers down to zero. That we've actually partnered with at times throughout our history, along with Wall Tremors.
Well, if it's good enough for the American Mustache Institute, it's good enough for the Steve Cochran Show. That's my point. All right, now we have sent you photographs of the various people on the show. And Pete, by the way, chime in if you have any questions for Dr. Aaron Perlett. Pete McMurray's here this morning because he has nowhere to go. And generally our booking requirements are a little more stringent than that. But in Pete's case, we're willing to make an exception. He'll be filling in for me tomorrow. So, Dr. Perlett, let's start with Bennett. Bennett Wakenight. You have Bennett's photograph there. I described him as Tom Cruise's sidekick in Valkyrie trying to kill Hitler. Is that the mustache you see?
Well, you know, what's interesting about that is I do, but what makes it is his facial structure and also the hair on top of his head, because when you grow a mustache, it's not simply just about the hair that's on your lip, but it's how it connects with your wardrobe, the rest of your look. And so, you know, not every mustache style is right for every upright mammal. I do like his mustache.
Oh, you do?
It's very trim. Yeah, it's very efficient. It's like making love to a German. It's extremely
efficient. Oh, man.
All right, that's all positive.
Thank you, doctor.
Do you have any questions for Dr. Perlett, Bennett?
I guess the only question after, you know,
like, where did he go to school?
Aside from that, I can get into that later. I think everyone should know their limits when it comes to facial hair.
Uh-huh.
Sir, you have the goatee, works well for you. I guess, doctor, after seeing my mustache, do you think I should grow it out or keep it high and tight?
That's a great question, side? Doctor. What are your thoughts?
I like the way you've got that chevron style mustache, and it seems to fit your face rather well. Okay. Plus, you know, being of ginger descent, you really need to think about having too much orange all around your head. So I think that just doing the mustache is that chevron style mustache is it's really a good move for you.
Right. We apparently sent you a bad photograph where Bennett appears to be a redhead. He's actually more of a brown hair, brunette,
A light brown,
light brown. Yeah,
yeah. But there, I'm sure there might have been shades in the picture.
Now we also sent you a picture. We also sent you a picture of the former, because I know you're based in St. Louis, former St. Louis Blues head coach and the head coach of the world champion, three-time Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks, three times in his reign, Joel Quenneville. What are your thoughts on his mustache?
I'm a longtime fan of his mustache because, you know, I always think about longevity. And, you know, what's great about Coach Quenneville, not only is he a winner, but he's a winner propelled by his labia subucula, which, Steve, as you know, is Latin for lip sweater. And he wins, and he really tends to stick with it year-round. He's not like one of these folks that, with all due respect, that are growing it for, you know, a short-term purpose. He's someone who's willing to hang on and live that lifestyle and adopt it.
Would you repeat lip sweater again so Pete can write it down?
Sure. It's labia subucula.
I do have a question for the doctor. What about the neck beard? We see a lot of the neck beard during Movember.
Well, that's not good. Can't be good. Doctor?
I'm a believer that, you know, there is no such thing as bad facial hair. Only
there it is. He loves everything.
Facial hair. So I'm a fan.
If your beard looks like your turtleneck, that can't be a good thing.
Well, the reality is that many of us more evolved men, we have a lot of chest hair. And so if it seamlessly blends into that chest hair and you can create that nature trail, I really don't see a problem.
Okay, there, labia subucula. By the way, doesn't labia subucula sound like a French coffee or some sort of fancy coffee that you would order? I'd like the grande labia subucula.
I'll take it.
All right. Finally, I sent you a picture of. Let me ask you about my son. I sent you a picture of my son's beard. What do you think of that, Ross Cochran?
The beard is great. He looks like he could use some. What I would suggest would be a good male role model. But other than that,
I've never liked him, Dr. Perlett. I'm talking about. And Dr. Perlett, finally, my goatee. As you know, I have trouble growing a full beard, and I don't need to look any older. What do you think of the goatee?
Always been a fan, but, you know, it was interesting. I was listening to the enormously long lead-in before our conversation, and it's okay. I will forgive your commercial sponsors, but and you were talking about how you don't like to do the beard because you have a variety of colors.
Yes.
But I don't know. And the reality is the beard, the goatee that you have is, you know, has plenty of gray. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that having a beard or having a denser mustache is going to change that perspective. It's all about your self-confidence, Steve. And I'm concerned about you, and I wanted to spend some quality time with you because when I hear you...
You hear a lack of confidence with me, do you?
I do, and that upsets me. That concerns me because, you know, you and I go back
a long time.
I go back to when we were in the Horseshoe Fitters Union 438 back in 75, I think. And
those were good days.
Those were good days, but it concerns me because we've known each other so long.
Well, you know, maybe I need as a strong role model. If people want to go to the American Mustache Institute website and find out more, what do they do?
Well, they can come to AmericanMustacheInstitute.com, and we actually have a November facial hair growing guide and some tips there for people because there are so many who are adopting our lifestyle and kind of, you know, dipping their proverbial toe in the pool this month. So we want them to take proper precautions and learn how to grow an effective facial unit.
And much like Make America Great Again, is there a slogan we can take away from this?
You know, that's the beauty of our lifestyle. We don't need a slogan. We just need rugged good looks, sexual dynamism, and an attitude that nothing can be done unless we say it's going to be done. And then we get it done, if you understand what I'm talking about, as we talk about getting things done.
Yeah, Bennett, I would advise you to go to one of the doctor's all-time favorite mustaches, and that would be a man named Burt Reynolds.
I'm aware.
Who was a huge, huge movie star at one point.
He's my role model, so I think you just have to find yours, Steve. That's all.
Apparently, again, what I need is a strong role model.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than when I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
I should probably say I love Tim McGill, but that I did tell him to shut up.
That's not all you said.
I said you suck. I said shut up, you suck.
Who? That's not very nice.
Oh. Why?
Tim. Well, because it's going to be winter. It's going to be like 30 degrees this weekend.
That's okay.
I'm taking the rest of the week off. I'm not going to be here next week. I just decided I'm not coming in the rest of this week either.
Okay. Well, did you just decide that, Steve?
Well, yeah, because it's going to be like 65. Sandberg, everything I told you about meetings we had to have for the rest of the week, cancel all those ideas.
Are you still golfing?
Of course I'm still golfing.
Oh, man.
Absolutely. At 8:15, Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9. Hello, buddy.
Steve, don't kill the messenger.
Well, I didn't kill him. I just said he sucked. He doesn't suck.
And do you
He's
think
great.
It's going to be that it's going to be warmer somehow if you're on vacation? If you're not at work, that'll make it warmer.
Well, this week, though, did you see the rest of the week? We're 60 to 65 every day.
Yeah.
I'm holding on to every last bit of it.
Happens every year, Steve.
I just read it's going to be the hottest summer ever.
Next summer?
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's
global,
great.
Global warming.
There we go.
Bad news for polar bears. Good news for me.
Hey, I'll tell you what's hot.
What's that?
People Magazine's new sexiest man alive.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you're excited about it, but this is another year that I didn't win.
How do you know that?
Well, because I know the answer. I know who won.
I don't. I didn't get my people yet. Are they going to tell me?
It rhymes with The Rock.
It rhymes with The Rock?
Yeah. It's The Rock. It's Dwayne
Rhymes. Rhymes with Schwayne the Smock Monson.
Oh, you don't think Dwayne Johnson's are sexy?
Really?
Oh, okay.
At least
what?
It's not the Donald.
No, it's not Trump.
Although,
can you imagine if it was Trump?
Careful what you say about Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because yesterday he said he is not ruling out running for president.
Yeah, in 2020. See, that's the thing. This is another unintended consequence of this year. This has opened the door to every chucklehead celebrity, including people you know.
And Schwarzenegger will be his running mate.
Right.
Yeah.
No, Schwarzenegger can't run. Schwarzenegger would probably be a good president at this point.
We will be the most powerful presidential team ever.
They're not going to go from the French accents that annoyed you to Austrian accents. Sandberg, is The Rock sexy?
He's okay, but people jumped the shark when they named Jennifer Aniston the most beautiful person last year. So.
hatred.
That was bad, too.
Your hatred for Jennifer Aniston has to stop.
I match it.
You hate Jennifer Aniston?
I don't hate her, but I'm not thrilled with her.
Why? What did she do to you?
Nothing. She's just
That's
not
the thing.
That
nothing. Yeah, not that great an actress.
She's a
decent.
Fun actress. She's a nice person.
Who's more attractive than Jennifer Aniston?
I've met her many times. She's very nice. Who's more attractive than Jennifer Aniston? The Rock. Look it up.
I like who's that girl from Australia with the blonde hair?
Oh, the one from Australia with the
blonde
hair? She
was in the Tina Fey movie where they were reporters in Iraq. Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie, yeah, she's beautiful. Yeah.
She knocks Jennifer Aniston off the pedestal. And the thing about Jennifer is, the only thing is, she's getting an award for not getting dumpy as she gets older. But most people should just have those standards for themselves anyway.
Well, yeah, and she's got a personal trainer, she's got this, she's got that, she's never had children.
Can we get back to Dwayne The Rock Johnson for a minute? Because
text her from the 630, hate Jennifer Aniston. This is, you know what this is?
Go 630.
This is like, who's the woman that everybody hates in Hollywood? She's won an Oscar and...
Angelina?
No. God.
The one that trips all the time. She's annoying.
How is it nobody on the show?
Jennifer Lawrence?
Yes. her.
No, not Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, she's annoying to me.
We're not going any further until people tell me what I'm thinking.
Julianne Moore?
No, it's not Julianne Moore.
I don't like her teeth.
Oh, that's Andrea.
Let's pretend this is a contest and not that I've forgotten her name.
Nicole Kidman.
Nope, wrong again.
She just won an Oscar?
She won an Oscar and people Anne Hathaway.
Oh yeah, she's very annoying.
See, they're all pale.
Yeah. Thank you, 312. Literally, a texter had to tell me. The texter. By the way, texter, come to the Tribune Tower. You're the new research director for this show.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson says he thinks the sexiest part of himself is his sense of humor and his skin. He says it starts with the skin. That's why he exfoliates regularly.
Oh, barf!
Wow, something seriously wrong with that whole thing. You know how I exfoliate? I get up the next morning.
I think you just spent 5 minutes exfoliating.
I get up and then I go outside and I come back in and look, I exfoliated some more.
Oh, how's the atmosphere in the studio there, Pete McMurray?
815, I love Jennifer Aniston. She's a sweetheart. By the way, that's from Jennifer Aniston. She has got a place in the 815.
It was nice that she checked in.
This is unbelievable. All right, we'll get traffic here.
Congratulations to Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Congratulations is right. Dean and I voted. We both voted for him.
Of all the people that we've just mentioned, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the only one that, you know, how they do on their biceps where they can make them bounce.
Yeah, I do that.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson can do that. Let's see Jennifer Aniston do that.
You know what? If Jennifer Aniston did that, she'd win more awards.
She's got bouncy biceps. Yeah, that would be good.
If she can make her boobs bounce the way The Rock can, that's impressive. All right, still to come, Bruno Mars in Chicago, Wilco, Sting, all playing, not with them, Dean Celebrity Real Estate Corner, and maybe Kathy Bates is trying to calm us all down. But before we get to that, we'll get to traffic, and that's sponsored by...
Well, Dean's report is sponsored by Grossinger Auto Group.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Wintrust Community Bank's hour continues. Dean Richards is here. Well, he's not here. He's over there at Channel 9. Pro and
steady. In your heart, though. Because he's always ready. East Coast to the West Coast. Want to hear some entertainment breaking news?
Yeah, I'm just looking over the Jennifer Aniston thing here on text.
See how many people don't like her?
Well, some don't like her, but some like her a lot.
Well, there's few, not many.
Sandberg says Jennifer Lawrence is annoying. That's the pot calling the kettle black.
See, I disagree with Mary on that one. I do like Jennifer Lawrence.
Aniston is as exciting as a marshmallow, a stale one.
Is this going to be the new thing that we all hate on Facebook? That we can stay polarized as we begin to unify.
Well, Facebook is so busy passing on news that isn't actually news. If we learn one thing from this, let's learn that Facebook is not a news site and stop forwarding stuff that you don't know is factual. Not helpful. All right. So, what were you going to tell me is breaking entertainment news?
I was going to tell you about Bruno Mars, who just announced a big concert tour, and he's going to be coming to Chicago. Next March.
You know, word is he has to kiss himself. He's so pretty.
Well, he is that pretty. You can't. Yeah. Don't fault a guy.
Oh, I don't.
How does he compare to Jennifer Aniston, really?
Yeah. I'm a big Bruno Mars fan.
I'm sorry. He's going to be here August 16th and 18th of next year, but tickets are going to go on sale this coming Monday. But just the big breaking news is a show that was just announced a few minutes ago called the Total Package Tour. New Kids on the Block, Boyz II Men, and Paula Abdul, all in one show. Let's go to Wolf Blitzer for this update.
I'm Wolf Blitzer. Paula Abdul is back.
What does David Axelrod think of the show?
It would take him 45 minutes to introduce everybody on the panel, and then everybody be gone. All right, so Paula Abdul, New Kids, and who?
Boyz II Men.
Let's go to Pete McMurray on this. Pete, that's a home game for you. You grew up in that era.
Very exciting.
Why don't you go ahead and turn your microphone on, Pete?
Yeah, very exciting. We're in a new studio, guys. I haven't worked here in a year and a half.
Pete McMurray's here, Dean. I don't know if you noticed.
I did. I just said hello. He completely ignored me.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Go on FM for a little while and you forget your friends.
Yeah, that's no kidding.
Paula Abdul, I've actually met her. I'm sure you have. Yeah. She's three feet tall.
Well, she's short, but she's delightful. She's short and delightful.
She is really short.
Yeah. Okay, easy, hater.
I'm not. I don't hate Paula Abdul.
It's unbelievable.
The weirdest entertainment report ever.
Yeah. And by the way, that's a high bar. All right. So Bruno Mars. Who else musically?
The this tour with New Kids, Boyz II Men, and Shorty McShortington is going to start in May, and will be tickets are going on sale for that this coming Saturday morning. Oh, Sting is coming to the Aragon. Tickets are going
on
sale.
Hold on, I got another texter coming in.
On Monday.
And somebody Wilco said pecs bounce, not biceps, Steve. You're an idiot. Well, they are right.
The pecs bounce, that's right. Yeah, the Wilco is going to be playing three nights at the Chicago Theater. Tickets for that go on sale on Monday.
Wow, is there a lot of Jennifer Aniston hate out there? It's unbelievable.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm telling you.
She's so hot.
What?
Well, she's a really nice person.
It's
my experience with her. Dean, you've met her, haven't you?
Very, very nice.
Yeah. Okay. Apparently we're wrong.
Very nice. Steve, we're living in very hateful times.
708, why are women so critical of other women as opposed to men? Well, that's true. Women are terrible to other women.
We are.
Yeah. Mary loves it.
But it's
yes,
fun.
We are. All right, Dean, back
we
to you.
We need to unify as a nation. We need to get together and stop hating our actors.
Well, we need to elect someone who's going to bring us together.
We do. I talked with, you know, there was a lot of talk about the actresses and actors getting involved in politics.
Yeah.
So naturally, I asked one of them about politics when I got together with Kathy Bates over the weekend in Los Angeles, because she was a Hillary Clinton supporter. Mm-hmm. But when I asked her about, you know, I didn't really ask her reaction to the election, but I asked her about celebrities being vocal in politics. And she had a very, very reasoned and sensible response that I'm sure we can somehow bring back to Jennifer Aniston.
Well, I don't think I've been as vocal as many others have. I was always taught by my mother, don't reveal who you vote for, how much money you've made, or who you've had the pleasure with. So I really think it's a very personal decision. And right now, personally, I'm following the president who's still in office, suggesting that we need to move forward and that we need to unify the country and that we need to take it day by day. And I for me personally, I've decided not to to speak negatively or to into all of that.
Yeah, do you think celebrities should keep it quiet, though?
I think it's an individual choice for each person. For myself, I feel that we have the right. We pay taxes. We vote. We certainly have the right to share our opinions, and I've never appreciated it when people say, you're just an actor. What do you know?
Wow, what a grown-up.
Right?
Yeah, terrific. Right.
Yeah.
And as we've said now for a week, and it hasn't been easy, but as I've said for a week, listen, there's no upside to just trashing on Trump for the sake of trashing him. But there are factual things related to Trump and the moves he's making or not making that need to be discussed coming up. Before we run out of time, Dean, it is time for Celebrity Real Estate Corner, and I don't know that people realize that you're the celebrity real estate agent to the stars.
A lot of people don't know in my spare time, which I have quite a bit, I am a Century 21 real estate agent to the stars, and we've just posted a honey of a property, Steve, for supermodel Cindy Crawford and her husband. They put their Malibu estate up on the market. This is a 5,200 square foot beachfront property.
I need that.
Sits on 3 acres of land.
149.5.
Four bedrooms, five bathrooms.
I'm willing to go as high as 175.
Five bathrooms, sitting area, library.
Isn't that what the five bathrooms are for? The sitting area?
Dining room, gourmet kitchen, floor to ceiling windows, fire pit, unobstructed ocean views, tennis courts, and a pool.
I'll go 250, and that's my final offer.
Steve, I can put you in this, honey, for $60 million. $60 million.
That seems high. Would you take 300?
I'll put in an offer.
Isn't her neighbor George Clooney? So you get Clooney
you
in
get
the deal, right?
Clooney next door, but I mean your
it's
property.
It's interesting that it's Cindy Crawford's house, but you want to live next to George Clooney.
Well, Clooney's the guy that you want to hang out with, right?
But it's a 3-acre property. Next door is 3 acres away.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, next door is in a different county.
But here's the problem. George Clooney is a Jennifer Aniston fan.
Yeah, they're good friends.
Oh, no.
Exactly right. They're good friends.
I like George Clooney.
Let's go to David Axelrod and see what he thinks about this property.
Mary, do you hate George Clooney's wife? She's like saving people in the third world.
No, she at least is doing something with her life.
Wow.
I do like her.
Maybe it's just people named Mary, Sandberg, Vanderbilt. All right. Well, listen, Dean, I think this is our best work yet.
This was our best entertainment report ever.
So what are you doing now?
I'm going to go try to take some electroshock therapy.
He's going to go text Jennifer.
Thanks for being on the show.
It's my pleasure. So nice to be with you all today.
Bye-bye. Who is that brought to us by, Dave, that Dean Richards report?
That was Grossinger Auto Group.
We'll come back more with Pete Murray, who I think has been a big part of the show today. And coming up in just a few minutes, can you save the Democratic Party? And how do you do it? Coming up on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Given population distribution across the country, we have to compete everywhere. We have to show up everywhere. We have to work at a grassroots level, something that's been a running thread in my career. You know, I won Iowa not because the demographics dictated that I would win Iowa. It was because I spent 87 days going to every small town and fair and fish fry and DFW hall. And there were some counties where I might have lost, but maybe I lost by 20 points instead of 50 points.
Yesterday, President Obama, pretty great in his press conference. However, he still did that annoying thing where he takes 45 minutes to answer a question. And that way he only has to answer a few questions instead of a bunch of questions. It's a lame little move, but he's been very gracious in his support for President-elect Trump. And wrote a fine line yesterday, but did admit, of course he has concerns. Why wouldn't he have concerns? Wouldn't be a human being if he didn't have concerns. He's on his final European trip now. But it all comes down to the same question. Can this Democratic Party be saved? I believe only one person can, and that's Bridget Gaynor, who joins us now. I don't want to put all this on you, but you're the only hope we have left.
Well, there we go.
And I say that, I've never been a registered Democrat, but I say that as concern for the Democrats and how messed up things are now.
Well, it is. I mean, I think that this is a moment, if we don't take stock and look in the mirror and realize that we kind of got off the path, then this is a wasted opportunity and we're going to be a minority party. I mean, look at the Labour Party in the UK. It's turned into a kind of basically a minority party now because they weren't able to talk to what really mattered to people.
Do you see this coming? And I don't mean, you know, you saw Trump winning, but did you see this coming in that the Democrats had stopped reaching out to working class America the way that with the shift that had been going on and the demographic changes that have been happening? Did you feel it?
You know, I think in Illinois, it's easy to not feel it because if you just look at the map, we're one blue state surrounded now by red. So you can kind of insulate yourself because, A, we have, you know, a thriving city that has a lot of economic opportunity. And so we're not forced into this situation like a lot of people in smaller towns are, which is there's a couple of employers, one of them closes down. And so you really start to feel it. So I think that in Illinois, we don't feel it as much. But to be honest, the election of Bruce Rauner was in some ways a precursor of the election of Trump. I mean, that wasn't so much, hey, I want to elect this hedge fund business guy. It was, I'm rejecting either Pat Quinn or what the Democrats were doing up until then. And so they said, maybe I don't have anything in common with this guy, but he's better than the alternative. And I think that's where we are with Trump. I don't think a lot of people who voted for him, or at least the majority, thought, oh, he's my kind of guy. Like, I'm going to have him over for a beer.
Right.
It's that I don't like what's happening. And whether it's the too much focus on social issues, whether it's the fact that we forgot that it's all about the economy. I mean, it's just like in the Bill Clinton election. It's the economy, stupid. And we had kind of forgotten that and focused on other things, which you only have the luxury of focusing on when you feel secure economically.
So, well, but and to extend on that, the Wisconsin piece is amazing to me. The fact that Scott Walker's Wisconsin, where Scott Walker was in multiple polls the most hated man in Wisconsin for a period of time,
right?
And the Democrats have always owned the union vote. Mm-hmm. That Donald Trump could win Wisconsin and that the union side would say, I'm now open to Republican views on unions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's next door, kids. I never thought I'd see that.
Well, I think it's a combination of two things. I think, obviously, we know that Hillary Clinton never went to Wisconsin, so that's part of it.
Sure.
But Scott Walker has probably could rival like the old Chicago machine for his ground game operation.
Yeah, he was great.
And it gets back to the all politics is local. If someone's coming to your door and says, hey, I'm here, you know, I'm making eye contact with you. This is what's important. Maybe we don't agree on anything, but at least I feel like I have some connection to you. I think one of the dilemmas is the longer you're in power and you forget that you have to organize, you forget that you have to see people and talk to them and go to them and not just wait for them to come to you, well, you start to lose touch because you're not around.
So maybe Trump's not wrong about continuing to do these rallies. You know, the rallies are being written off as it's just more of his childish need for, instant gratification. But the fact is, it was his main connecting point. And maybe that's what, you know, we slammed Obama for years for going out and constantly campaigning. Maybe this is how he gets laws done. Maybe this is how he gets bills passed. He goes out and he does rallies.
Well, look, I mean, I think it could also be his desire to feel love and affection. But at the end of the day, who's going to who? Is he going to them or is he waiting for them to come to him? And anyone who's elected into an office that stops going to people and just waits for people to come to them is asking for trouble. Because then you only hear what you want to hear, or you only hear what people filter up to you. And so, I mean, I'm not saying a rally is an unvarnished assessment of what everybody's views are, but it shows, and I don't know if I could use the word humility with Donald Trump, but it shows at least some effort that you're going to put yourself out there for people. And so, I mean, look, you know, just like you can hate the sin but love the sinner, you don't have to like Donald Trump as messenger, but you got to listen to the message.
I totally agree.
The message wasn't, I'm a racist and I'm a bigot, because that's a little bit of a cop-out. The message was, this world isn't working for me and the economy isn't working for me and you're not listening. So even if I'm going to do something that, you know, I'm going to throw a bomb in the water, it's better than what I've got. So I think the call to Democrats now is, how do we get back out there and put ourselves in front of people and listen to what they're saying?
Well, how frightening is it, too, that everything that we generally consider basic human decency what scored this election? What scored this election is we have to do something different.
Well, I mean, look, it's like when you study, Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah.
Like, I can only worry about being happy or taking care of others when my own needs are met. So if I don't think that I've got a secure economic future, or more importantly, if I worry about what the heck are my kids going to do for a job, or do they have to move away? If I have to think about that, then someone else's rights are going to take the back seat. And, you know, it's not something I think we're proud of as a country, but I think it's human nature and a fact. So the question is, how do we meet people's needs? How do we make them feel like they've got a secure future and we're connected to them? And I think when we do that, then people can hear the second part of the conversation, which is about civil rights and decency.
Who knew this was the Hunger Games election? it's kind of what it comes down to, though. Look, Nancy Pelosi's got to go. Harry Reid's already gone. The old-style Democrats, where everything Republican sucks and they're all wrong and we're all right. Democrats have an opportunity here between now and the midterms to not do that. And to call out Trump for everything he does that's worthy of being called out, but to still respect the office, not go down that road of the 2000s of George Bush is an idiot and all of that negativity. You know, all of that has to go away. And that's why this is all up to you now. If you truly want to save the Democratic Party, Bridget, it's up to you.
Well, you know what?
I mean, I know you got a family. I know you got responsibilities. But look, the country's calling.
Hey, kid, no dinner tonight. I got to save the Democratic Party. you know what I think will be a really interesting test is that carrier factory in Indiana.
Right.
So he campaigned saying, I'm going to save your jobs. I'm not going to let them move to Mexico. And to be honest, if he can do that in a way that makes some sense, then we should all be happy, because that's 1,800 people that will have a job. And so I think, and look, looking at some of these trade agreements, you know, I think this was also a wake-up call for the Republicans, who realized that half of their base doesn't really love free trade. And they don't, you know, they don't like these agreements that you force people into arbitration and you actually don't think about what happens to the workforce. So all of a sudden, this party of big business got a wake-up call that says, oh, wait, this isn't good for us? Maybe we need to rethink it, too. And so in some ways, things like the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership that's going to be pulled back, I mean, that's not a bad thing. And I think what you heard is a roar from the base of both parties. So I think it's our, I think for the Democrats, if we don't seize this opportunity, then we damn ourselves to irrelevance, and it's our own fault.
Be a good name for a new party, the Irrelevant Party. BridgetGaynor.com, Cook County Commissioner, and one of my favorite guests. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
See you later.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:12. We continue. Pete McMurray will be filling in for me tomorrow. Hi, Pete.
Good to be here. Really is.
Pete's in today.
I'm part of the team.
When did you start in radio? How long ago?
College, 88, 89.
And yet you felt like you needed a shadow today just to make sure you knew what was going on. I respect that. It's very professional of you.
I haven't been here in a year and a half. You guys are just going to throw me in. I'm like, can I come in for one day and just look around?
And you're going to fill in for me next week as well.
Yes,
I'll be out Tuesday next and Wednesday. Week. Yeah. Plan on taking the entire month of December off if you're available.
I'm in 100%, ready to go.
Pete was on the drive and got fired for stealing from the company, a fine company called Hubbard, and he stole from them.
Yep.
That's not true at all. Pete had great ratings and got fired because they wanted to spend less money on talent, and Pete was making too much. The good news is you're not making much for filling in for me, so that's working out well for you. But you know I'm a fan and happy to have you filling in.
I appreciate
that.
Standing
by on the phone is one of the bosses at Wilson. Dave, you know this. Wilson Sporting Goods is one of the great Chicago companies.
Yeah, an icon.
Yeah. And they are grabbing their share of the golf market back. You remember in the 70s, Dave? There was a decade. Pete, come here. Get on my knee for a second.
Yeah.
There was a decade called the 70s. And in the 70s, Wilson had probably five decades running of being the golf equipment company. And during the 80s and 90s, let that slip away a bit. But they've done a great job of getting their share back. And joining me on the phone now as we talk about a program they're doing is Tim Clark. And, Tim, how you been, man? Nice to talk to you again.
Hey, good to talk to you, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. There's a show called Driver versus Driver. And even if you're not a golf fan, I want you to listen to this because, you know, the shopping season's coming up. And the best way I could describe this, we were talking about it off the air, Tim, this is like Shark Tank for golf.
That's a great description of it. Yes, I'd say that's kind of how it's feeling now that we're moving into the final few episodes.
All right, so you've got people who think they've got the design for the driver, and the ultimate winner of this, what happens to them?
Yeah, they're getting a $500,000 check from Wilson Sporting Goods for their winning design. It was a pretty interesting concept, open call, you know, 300-plus entries, and now we're down to the final three teams, Steve. So it's been quite a journey.
And are these engineer types or golf fans? I guess generally you got to be a golf fan to understand the game a little bit. But are these engineering nerds, for lack of a better word?
What's interesting, Steve, is one of the final teams is a college team from Long Beach State, and none of the team members actually play golf, which was really intriguing to watch them come up with a really interesting design and obviously progress to the final three products that were manufactured. And then the other two gentlemen definitely have some golf background and are on the engineering and industrial design side. But we had all walks of life in the open call. You know, we've had school teachers, we've had PGA professionals, pretty much anybody who sat in their garage, Steve, and thought, hey, I got the idea for the best driver in the world. This show gave them a platform to come out and put it out in front of people and have it evaluated.
So how quickly, because I've been, Pete, Wilson has this unbelievable test center, which is in a secret location out near the airport, which I've been lucky enough to be at a couple of times, where they take all the sports from tennis to baseball to basketball to golf, and they have people come in and they test the equipment, the highest level of athletes in every sport to schlubs like me. And you come in, and in the golf case, you hit the new clubs, and they have a 3D printer there that actually printed my head. But yes, it's wow. an amazing facility. So I think you could turn this around pretty quickly. But the point of the long-winded question here is, how fast can you turn around the winner into a final product that you could market?
Yeah, well, just to put it all in perspective, the idea was presented down at Golf Channel almost 3 years ago now, Steve. And
wow.
then when we got to the final three designs to the day, you know, it basically takes about 90 days to prototype a driver, and it takes basically around $150,000 in titanium tooling to do it per head. So it's a pretty expensive endeavor we're on here. The other side is, so when the final design driver is selected, there's about 100 days to get it to the marketplace. So we're in process. We have drivers. We obviously know who the winner is, confidentially speaking, and drivers are on their way here to our warehouse in Tennessee. And on Black Friday, you'll see this $500,000 driver in store. So it's a pretty exciting time for Wilson Golf, working on the resurgence of our brand and moving back up to that top position in the golf space.
And the cool thing about it is it won't cost you $500,000. It'd be tough to sell them at that price point, wouldn't it?
No, yeah, you know, it won't cost you, the consumer, or the consumers, the golf consumers out there, but it definitely will cost us $500,000, Steve.
All right, and so you'll reveal the winner, because Brian Urlacher's been involved in this, and Pete McMurray's here. Pete, I know you know Urlacher. Urlacher's had a very busy year. He got new hair, and now he's involved with Wilson Golf. But when will you actually reveal the winner?
So the winner will be Tuesday night of Thanksgiving. It's November 22nd. That's the final episode.
It's next
tonight
Tuesday.
Is actually, if you want to call it, the semifinal tonight, and the final's on next Tuesday.
Any chance this gets picked up for another year? Because we certainly have other golf equipment you could work on.
Yeah, you know, we've actually, yeah, there's been a tremendous amount of interest. I you know, Steve, I've been with Wilson 20 years, and obviously we've had the chance to meet in the past, and it's been a very interesting change in my job. I've had, you know, obviously you live in the celebrity world, and people know you when you're out and about. So what's interesting is I've had more emails where people have found me on LinkedIn or Messenger, and, you know, it's, hey, we got to do putter versus putter next, and wedge versus wedge, or here's my driver idea, I didn't submit it. So it's been a whole new world for us in regards to connecting to the golf consumers and the inventors out there.
So now you're a TV producer. Who knew?
Like I said, I definitely going to keep the day job, Steve. I'm much better here at I got a board meeting this week, and you know, much better here presenting the business plan than I am actually sitting on a TV set or clearly on the radio.
So the bottom line is this, and you're modest, but you've done a great job on the TV show as well. The bottom line is this: in a week, we'll know who wins the Wilson Driver versus Driver contest, and that driver will be available all during the holiday season and beyond, obviously, into next season.
Yes.
But it's an opportunity for you to get the absolute best from Wilson Golf. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're excited. I think you're going to see a product that will be played on tour. We've had Kevin Streelman test it. He's committed to put it in his bag on the PGA Tour. We've had Ricky Barnes test it. He's committed to put it in his bag on the PGA Tour. So not only did we have a world-class idea here with a TV show and crowdsourced design and a lot of excitement around our brand, but then secondarily, we had a great TV show that was produced. But more importantly, we're going to have a product that goes into the market that really is going to give a wow factor to the consumer that gives it a chance.
Congratulations on it. If people want more information, where do they go? To Wilson Golf?
Yeah, they can go to driverversedriver.com or wilsongolf.com, and they can get all the updates and all the information. And if they want to get caught up on episodes, they can go to golfchannel.com, and there's online links to some of the past episodes to get ready for the finals.
And this doesn't have to be if you're just a golf nut like me. You can also do this if you have somebody you love that's a golf nut. There's a heck of a holiday present. Thank you, Tim. Always good to connect with you, and congrats on the success.
Thanks for your time, and hope to see you soon. And drive safe out there. Good thing I had GN on. I knew my drive this morning was to be about 4 hours up there to my O'Hare. So fog is heavy out west.
That's Mary Vanderbilt's fault. All right, stand by. Let's get a break in here, and then we'll come back. And we've got to go over our Wang Dang Doodle results from last week. We actually did the picks off air. We were so busy with the election, and set up this week's picks, and an update on the standings in just a second. Tomorrow on the program, here's a plug. Pete McMurray, you're going to be talking to Brian Bickle tomorrow while I'm out.
Brian Bickle's first interview since the announcement. He has MS. Yeah.
So I may call you with that.
Okay.
Well, I know I'm thinking about what I'm going to be doing.
it's your day off.
Yeah. But no, Bick's a friend, you know, and I texted him last week to wish him well, and we're just concerned about him. The good news about MS is if you listen to your doctor and take care of yourself, you can have a fully functional life in almost every case. It's 9:22, back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The Wang Dang Doodle.
Yeah, got it. Well, we're going to do an update on the Wang Dang Doodle scoring, but the producer of the program is missing. Jake, you're the co-producer of this program. Wouldn't you step in and save the show at this point?
Not without a raise. No. No, I can't do it at this
point. I think you're overpaid now. So.
Some would say. Yeah, all I don't know where she went. She literally was just here, and then, she's running in now.
Here she comes.
She's coming in now?
She's coming in right now. She was actually writing a blog about how much she hates Jennifer Aniston. So.
Oh, that's right.
Mary was helping edit it. Vanderbilt.
Yes, for sure. And I'm sure the don't cares are ahead, no.
Joining us now is Sandberg. Let me ask you a question. Don't you do the schedule for the show?
I do the schedule.
Well, then wouldn't you know what time you're on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so who's winning? Or do you need a minute?
No, I know. Who's winning which team overall?
Yeah, team.
Well, the do cares still have a lead. Sorry, I ran.
You're completely out of breath, aren't you?
I ran in boots.
When did you realize you were being talked about on the air and you were supposed to be on?
I heard, it's the Wang Dang Doodle.
And what part of the building were you in at that point?
Todd's office.
I saw a blur go right past my window.
I'm like, I got to step this up. The thing is, I was chilly and now I'm hot. So.
Well, it's a good thing when you're running up and down the hallway. All right, so.
All right, so the Do Cares are still in the lead.
This is the Do Care team versus the Don't Care team. Pete, pay attention.
But in week 10, the don't care is actually won.
Oh, yes. Look at that.
So yes. That is 2 weeks in a row that the don't cares have beaten the do cares.
But we still lead.
Yeah, 6-4.
The do care team, again, is composed of Captain Dave Ennett's squad, which includes who, Dave? Who's on the do care team?
I believe that would be you, Steve.
Yeah.
I believe that would be Andrea Darlis.
Yep.
I believe it would be Mike Jacobson.
Yep.
Who am I leaving out? Anybody?
Did you say Ann?
No, and my mom.
Oh, and Steve's mom.
Nice that you forgot my mom.
Okay.
And the Don't Care team, Mary, is captained by you.
Yes, it is. And we have the two Marys. We have Bennett and...
John DeCuss.
John DeCuss and Steve Grzanich.
And Steve Grzanich. All right. So individual scores from last week. I like to go worst to first. What about Jake?
We can hear him in the queue.
Oh, yeah. We've got weird headphone problems going on here.
All sorts of problems.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in...
This is, again, the individual scoring...
Individual
for
scoring.
...for the Wang Dang Doodle.
In 10th place, it is Mike Jacobson.
Hey, congratulations. That means he was last?
He was last.
What happened there? Listen, you've been in sports your whole life. How come you were last?
And what's really unfortunate for him is if I would have taken his second or third choices, he would have been like first. But it was his first choice that was.
I don't think it's a good excuse, dude. You finished last.
Well,
last,
before he gives you too much of a beat.
Does your mic work? I'm talking to you. Hello, Jake, over. Test.
Okay, there we go.
Test.
Okay, so Mike is last.
It's going well, isn't it? The seventh floor studio situation.
And in ninth place is Steve Cochran.
Oh,
if I can recall, remind you, you took Cutler and the Bears. So.
Boy, my mocking of Jake was much funnier until I found out I finished ninth.
Yeah, I figured that.
I take it all back.
Eighth place is the vacationing Andrea Darlis.
Wow, we were terrible.
Yeah, you guys didn't
all
do so
Duke
hot.
All the Duke cares just on the
awful.
And she picked first, so. Seventh place, Mary Vandeveld.
Oh,
all the do cares,
okay.
Mary.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Well, I did pull the Steve there for a minute.
Yeah, exactly. Cocky till you're not. Yeah.
Sixth place is your mother.
My mom was sixth. Well, that's an upgrade. Wasn't she like 10th last
yeah,
week?
Yeah, she didn't do so well. Okay. John DeCuss is in fifth place.
Wow, this is like, it's like bizarro world. Fourth?
Steve Grzanich is in fourth place.
Wait, didn't you do his picks?
I remember he texted his Staley the Bear, I think is who he picked. So I did do his pick. So he's in fourth place.
Right. Third
place, Mr. Dave Ennett.
Oh. Nice comeback, Dave. You're the only one that held up our team.
Well, I tried.
Now, this is going to make it seem like it's fixed. But in second place, it's Bennett Wake Knight.
All right.
Yeah, Bennett, all right.
So in first place would be yours
you
truly.
You won?
Mayor.
I did win.
Yay, don't cares.
It's the second week I had Ryan Tannehill, and he, you know, of course, delivered like always.
And by the way, let's explain why you picked Ryan Tannehill.
I think he's cute, and his wife is really pretty.
So. Yeah, it also explained why she ran so fast to get back, right?
Right. Right, to get on the air and take credit for her win. Yeah.
So it was a great week.
Well, so here's the deal. We let you pick. When I say we, I mean me. I let you pick first last time. So guess who's picking first this time?
I'm guessing the Duke cares.
That's right. Congratulations. You've won nothing. So we'll do that Thursday morning?
Yes.
Thursday morning.
Here, yeah.
Right. Yep. Tomorrow, Pete, again here for me. And we're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle.
My friend Orion Samuelson joins us. I share a concern that Orion had expressed throughout the campaign season, and that's that regardless of who won, nobody was talking about agriculture. Everybody eats. Nobody wants to talk about ag. Here we are a week after the election, Big O, and welcome back to the program. Is there any reason to be optimistic that farming will get its due?
Well, I think ultimately it will, but the factor that we're looking at now is who will Trump appoint as his Secretary of Agriculture, and it's going to take a strong individual because he is going to have to convince Mr. Trump that agriculture is important. Nothing else happens until it does, and then he's going to have to make President-elect Trump understand that agricultural trade is extremely important. You know, 5% of the global population lives in the United States. The other 95% lives outside our country, and they can't produce the way our farmers can produce, and so they need to import. But trade needs to go both ways, because without it, we don't have bananas, we don't have coffee, we don't have grapes in the wintertime in the Northern Hemisphere. And so it's a situation that it has to be good for both sides. As I've said so many times, the late president of the American Farm Bureau, Dean Kleckner, said, if it doesn't go both ways, it's not trade.
And without the trade deals that we talked about, I mean, China already stepped up and said what? That listen, if you, Mr. Trump, try to do this, we can promise you a tariff hit immediately?
Well, yeah, but that's the war of words that goes on between China and the United States constantly. But the thing is, if the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership that is still awaiting approval in Congress, and it's doubtful now that in the lame duck session we'll get it, if that is not approved, the other 12 countries that will sign on to it could ignore the United States and allow China to step in and play the role that the United States would play. We need China. It buys more soybeans from the U.S. than any other country. It buys a lot of other agricultural products, so we need trade with China. But we need to be included in this Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement. And I keep saying, and nobody comes up with this number, because all they talk about is how many jobs we have lost because of trade agreements. But somebody give me a number. You know, the NAFTA agreement that both Trump and Hillary said they wanted to break up and redo, it's been in place 30 years. The president that signed off on it was Bill Clinton. And it has increased trade dramatically between the three countries, Canada, Mexico, and the United States. And why break that up? It's working.
Well, I mean, you can argue this, but you could be an isolationist militarily. I don't know how in 2016 you could be an isolationist when it comes to trade. The world, you know, this is like the Internet. It's like saying the Internet, well, you know, listen, the Internet's a fad. I mean, come on. The trade genie is out of the bottle. If you're not trading internationally, you're not in business.
You really aren't, because, as I said, 95% of the world's population lives outside the borders of the United States. And with our ability to produce, this year, Steve, is a all-time record in corn and soybean production. Never before have we produced the volume that we have produced this year. And we're going to have to keep that going and keep trade going because we're predicting, what, 9.5 billion people by the year 2050. And we're not making any new farmland. We just are going to have to produce off what we have pretty well established, and that's going to take technology, it's going to take trade, it's going to take all the ingredients that really has made America's farmers and ranchers the best in the world.
And for everybody concerned about a trade imbalance around the world with hundreds and hundreds of nations, Business Insider did a trade map during the campaign, and I remember just doing a quick count of the states, and China is our number one trade partner. And this is overall in all the goods that we trade. Right. But there are 23 states in the country where China was the number one trade partner for those states. The closest second was Canada. Canada had, I think, 8 or 9 or 10. Mexico was only cited 2 or 3 times. And then the UK and Saudi Arabia, even Belgium and Japan were on the list. But it was China over and over and over again.
And it will continue to be because their population grows. The one child per couple didn't work very well. And so the population continues to grow. And, you know, I've been to China 10 times. And really, the productive farmland available is now being used. Because, as I said, farmland, people have said, well, why can't they use big combines and big tractors? Because the countryside is laced with ditches, either carrying water away or bringing water to, and you can't move big machines over the way they have laid out their fields in China. And so they're going to be a major factor for U.S. farmers and ranchers. So.
Are you going to attempt to reach out to the Trump transition people and lobby for an ag secretary?
Well, I have already been on the phone with a couple of people I think would make excellent secretaries. And before I start talking about them a great deal, I wanted to find out if indeed they would be interested. And I'm waiting to hear back from them. They didn't say no. But right now, the name that I see most often is the governor of Kansas, Sam Brownback. And I interviewed him when he was national president of the FFA about 3 decades ago. That's when I first met him, and now he is the governor of the state. And he fully understands agriculture, so that's one name that a lot of people are mentioning, not just me. But the Ag Advisory Committee that Mr. Trump set up had 64 members. And of the 64, I think I know 50 of them and have probably interviewed them over the years and have a pretty good feel about them. So, but it'll take a strong secretary to convince Mr. Trump that some of the things he said during the campaign on agricultural trade just won't work.
Meanwhile, a little breaking news on the Trump transition team. Mike Rogers, who was heading up the national security team for Trump, who was a former CIA agent and a former congressman. Mike Rogers is out. He has resigned from the Trump transition team. Supposedly it was a request. He was asked for his resignation because Trump has separated himself from Chris Christie, and Rogers was a Christie guy. So a little sloppy behind the scenes.
You know, that's the world of politics. Getting away from politics for a moment, I'm checking in this week and next week from Arizona. I got to tell you, last night, the super full moon in the desert was absolutely gorgeous.
I bet it was. I was disappointed here. We didn't get the view I had hoped we'd get, but out in the desert where the stars are closer, oh, man.
Yeah, there are a lot more stars here, too, because you can see them. And but last night, the super moon over the desert, brilliant. I mean, it was like daylight.
That's very cool. Yeah, I'm telling you, one of my favorite things is going out and staying at Orion's house when he doesn't know and going outside at night and looking at the stars.
I think he knows.
No, I mean when he's here.
You always leave the house clean, and
yeah,
we appreciate
all.
That.
All.
Yeah, great.
Hi to Gloria. Thanks, man.
Okay.
That's Orion Samuelson. We're back with Bill and Wendy coming up at 10, and Pete McMurray filling in for me tomorrow. Back after this on 720 WGN.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh. The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk
Chicago
O-pedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Before we go, Dave Ennett's here with a Hawkopedia because we'd like you to learn a little bit about my favorite. your Chicago Blackhawks, and the teams are playing. What do you have today, Dave?
And the circus trip, Steve. Time to pay homage to the circus trip. If you remember, it was former Bulls center Joakim Noah, when told the team was about to start the circus trip, asked why they called it the circus trip and asked what's so circus about it. Well,
I don't remember that, but I'm amused by it.
He did. This will be the last time the United Center's primary tenants have to abandon their home for 2 weeks to head usually north and west.
Would they run out of rings? What's going on? Because you need three rings for a circus.
You do.
If you don't have three rings, it's not a circus.
They are not going to be coming to the United Center anymore.
No more clowns?
Well, I think there will still be clowns.
But tiny cars with clowns in them.
I'm sure they'll be somewhere, but just not there.
Elephants? We out of elephants?
No, I don't know. Didn't they get rid of elephants at the Ringling Brothers for a while?
Don't know.
I think that's true.
Yes, they did.
Anyway, back to the Hawkopedia. Blackhawks start their trip in Winnipeg. They will play 7 games in 12 days, including 2 sets of back-to-back games at Calgary and Vancouver and at Anaheim and L.A., the final leg of the trip, as they do every year. Blackhawks have fared well on this trip in the past. Last year, they played 6 games. 4 of them were decided in overtime. The Hawks finished the trip 3-1-2. 2 years ago in their Stanley Cup season, the Hawks went 5-1, 1 year after going 6-1. That year, they opened the trip by losing at Colorado and then reeled off 6 consecutive victories. The last 3 years, their record on this trip is 14-3-2. Under Joel Quenneville, the Blackhawks have gone 28-11-4 on the circus trip, and the circus trip is often cited as a time for the team to bond. Over the course of the trip, the Blackhawks say they will cover over 5,600 air miles.
Sure.
And it all starts tonight against the Winnipeg Jets.
All right, nicely done by you. We've learned stuff. Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.